So we're going to go to our scripture, which is Acts chapter 9. And you can open your Bible or your app. And everyone's there. Or you can just listen, whatever you prefer. And verse 1. But Saul, still breathing, threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Let us say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
All right. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate the opportunity, as always, to be able to share the scriptures with you guys. And if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, go ahead and leave those open. Let's talk about today this idea of the road to change, and this is the biggest change. This is the biggest change for Paul. We know him as Paul. In the verses that she just read, you hear him referred to as Saul. It's such a big change that it literally changes his name. And as we go forward here, let's talk about this. This incident is known as the Damascus Road Experience, and it is Saul's conversion story. This is where he is a person who is of the Jewish faith, and then he converts to the Christian faith. And it is his story that he tells three different times in the book of Acts, and each one just a tiny bit different. And as you know, that's kind of how it goes. You know, if you've told somebody about a story or an event that happened in your life, you probably told one person part of the story and then maybe added a little detail here or there. It's not that it wasn't the same story. It's just that each one is a little bit nuanced. Eventually, telling it to kings and rulers and great crowds of people, it changed Saul so much that it changed not only his life's purpose, but it also changed his name. And this is also a huge, important thing. The book of Acts is kind of a hinge of church history especially, but human history as well. If you look at the book of Acts, you see that it begins with the focus on Jerusalem and the Jews. Later in the story, and as it moves through the story and then eventually ends, we're not in Jerusalem anymore. We're to the uttermost part of the earth, as Jesus said in his Great Commission. It is not about those who are Jews. It is about those who are Gentiles, which, by the way, means everybody who isn't a Jew. Because the Jews just think so disrespectfully about those who are of another race that they don't even want to look at them sometimes. I have to tell you about that another time. But they eventually have shifted the focus from being the synagogue to the church, the Jew to the Gentile, the Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the earth. And also, probably the biggest change is that it begins with the focus on the Apostle Peter and it ends with the focus on the Apostle Paul. And he is the one who takes the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth and to the Gentiles. And we should all be very grateful. I think most of us are Gentiles in here. So let's keep moving here as we look about what else we talk about. And you're like, oh, who is this Saul of Tarsus? Who is this man who later comes to be known as Paul? He is mentioned first in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, and then mentioned again in Acts chapter 8, verse 3. And it says that when they cast him out of the city, that's being Stephen, and they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named what? Saul. This is the first time that we get any kind of glimpse, any kind of move across the screen, so to speak, of this man named Saul. But then it says, but Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He was dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. In other words, what was happening here, and we'll go to our next slide as well, that basically Saul volunteers to go and chase down Christians, hoping that he can make them recant and renege on their faith and just say, no, I'm not a Christian after all. Please let me live and please let me alone. But instead, all in hopes of making them deny their faith or be thrown into jail or even be killed. He became widely known in that entire area for his rage, as Ananias would later say, and we'll talk more about that. But don't miss this. If it ever feels like God is speaking just to you, you might be right about that. In other words, if you've ever had this experience where you're like, man, and I have people tell me this, and this is always a blessing. They come to me and they say, well, Pastor, it sounds like you were, you know, speaking just directly to me today. And usually what I really want to say, I don't want to sound too preacher, you know, but what I really want to say is that wasn't me, that was God. Because most of the time, I have no idea what's going on in your life, but God does. And he takes his words and he speaks directly to your circumstance through the feeble words of a guy who's trying his very best to preach and teach the word, but is probably not aware of what you're going through. But here's what we see here. It says, falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is Jesus speaking directly to Saul in the moment that he has fallen off of the donkey that he was traveling on, and he's laying there in the middle of the road, the Damascus Road experience. That's what this is named for. And it says that the men who were traveling with him stood speechless. They heard the sound or the voice, but they saw no one. And here's what's so incredible. This happens every single Sunday. Every single Sunday, we come together and we begin to read the Word of God. We talk about it. We just kind of go through some of the lessons that we can take. And as we're talking about today, the road to change, you may be thinking, well, you know what? I mean, I'm already a Christian, so it really doesn't matter. I mean, I don't really need to change because I've already given my heart to God. So, you know, this is not really even for me. Well, not at all what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are constantly to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're constantly to be growing towards a relationship with Christ, and that even in that relationship, we never stop growing. And if you think about, we talk about how we have a relationship with God through Christ. Think about your relationships. Can you imagine saying to yourself, well, you know, I talked with my wife a month ago, so I don't really actually need to talk about her or think about her or talk with her at all today because I did that a month ago. You'd be like, congratulations, you're in divorce court, right? Amen. So there you go. Well, the same thing the other way with your kids. You know, I didn't need to talk to my kids. I talked to them. I told them I loved them 3 weeks ago. They don't need to hear it again. You know, that never works. The relationship that God wants to have with you, he's going to be speaking to you, but the question is, will you be hearing? And as we look at this passage of Scripture, here's what's amazing. And this is what I started to say. This happens every Sunday, where the same words get spoken. And for some, it is life-changing. It is speaking to them. I see it all the time. I see people who come into this place, listen to the words, and they leave with tears in their eyes, and they say, God spoke to me today. And I'm like, man, that is phenomenal. That is fantastic. And then there are others who will walk out, and it just doesn't even look like they've been phased at all. You guys understand what I'm saying? So for you and for me, we have to make the decision and the choice. When we're talking about the road to change, if you and I have the attitude that I don't need to change, I don't need to develop, I don't need to grow, I don't need to grow closer to God, I don't even really need to be listening to God because I'm in a good place, then you are a person who probably will not ever really hear the voice of God that is probably there to be heard, but you're just simply not listening. If you guys are with me, can I get an amen? Amen? Okay, so you guys who are kind of new here, if I don't really get a good amen, I just start over. It really takes a long time. So y'all, can y'all give me a good amen on that? All right. Yeah, I knew that y'all felt that way. So here's what I know. When Paul is standing before King Agrippa late in this book of Acts, in Acts chapter 26, he says, we all fell to the ground. This is Paul talking. And he says, we all fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And then I ask, who are you, Lord? And then he hears words that would have blown him over with a feather. He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And that's what the Lord says to him. In that moment, he's laying in the middle of the road of Damascus Road. And as he is thinking, okay, I hear a voice. There's somebody who is bigger, grander, and greater than I. He is Lord, and I'm listening. Who are you? And he says, Jesus, the one that you're persecuting, that's who's talking to you right now. And it blows his mind. Everything changes in that moment. And let's go back. What were we saying about Paul when he was Saul? He was raging against the church. He was putting people in prison. He was hoping for their death because they were followers of Christ. 3 days later, he is a follower of Christ himself. Everything changes, and it changes dramatically and almost overnight because of this voice that he hears when he hears, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And so he is hearing that voice when his companions did not. This is a funny story. I was talking with my stepfather-in-law. His name is Steve. He is a great guy. He lives in Oklahoma City, and I guess I've known him since about 17 when Shelley and I started dating. So I've known him for a long time, and I just recently heard this story for the first time. But I was talking to Steve, and he was telling me about his own conversion story. And as he talked with me about that conversion story, he said, it's the weirdest thing. There was a guy that was here talking to my friend, and I was just sitting there listening. And he said, my friend was the guy that he was convinced that he was there to tell about the gospel, tell about Jesus and the life-changing power that he has. And so he just sat there and he looked at my friend the entire time, telling him all about Jesus. And finally, he turned to me and he kind of realized I was there. And he was like, well, what do you think? He said, my friend that he, you know, was talking to the whole time had zero interest in Jesus, zero interest in giving his heart and changing his life. And then my father-in-law, Steve, said, right then and there, I decided I would give my heart to Christ, and my whole life changed. And isn't that funny? Because you think you're telling this one person, and then the person that is not even there to be talked to at all is taking it all in, and that's where God moves, and that's how God changes. It's an incredible thing that whatever is happening in your life, if you will tune in and listen, whether it's for you or not for you, I don't know what you're thinking, but here's what I'm telling you. It is powerful and it is life-changing. The idea of the road to change begins in your heart and it can change your whole life. It is not easy, but it is something that is possible. And Paul talks about here, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. I want to tell what that is as we go to our next slide. I want to make it clear. Kicking against the goads is like an agricultural term. It is like a long stick that has a point at one end. And if you're trying to get a donkey to move and plow the field and pull the plow that you're with, you can't coax a donkey. You can just prod him with a sharp stick and make him move. And so that thing that you're poking him with to make the donkey move in the way that you're trying to get him to move is actually called a goad. And so you would goad a little bit, just a tiny bit. And as you would do that, sometimes the donkey would just start moving. The more and more angry he would get, he would start kicking up. Now, think about this for just a second. I don't want to pull a muscle here, but let's think about this for a second. You get poked in the rear end, and you kick up. And if you hit it at the right time, you kick that stick and right up the flank. I'm a donkey right now, if you can imagine, right? And so you hurt yourself so deeply, like you make it worse than it ever would have been had you not just resisted. And what is he saying? When Jesus says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, he's saying, I've been pushing you and pushing you and pushing you in the right direction, and you're so stubborn that you're going your own way constantly. And if you would just surrender, everything would be better and things would be different. But no, Saul was just so stubborn and would not. And so let me share with you this. Maybe there's a goad of broken relationships in your life. Maybe there's an abiding dissatisfaction with the situations you constantly find yourself in. Or maybe you are constantly repeating destructive patterns and habits. If any of these things are happening to you, maybe this is a goad for the Lord to say, you know what? Go deeper with me. Go a little further in your relationship with God. Even if you know me, maybe you need to grow deeper and become much more serious about your faith, not just simply being a person who knows about God, but who actually knows him. That road to change is something that begins as God pushes us and pulls us towards him, and we need to listen. Let's keep moving, and I'm going to pick it up here as we've talked a little bit about this, but let's talk about this. People change when they hurt enough that they don't have to, that they have to change. They learn enough that they want to change, or they receive enough that they are able to change. Most of us resist change, but change is where growth is, nowhere else. It has to be growth. It has to be change. They go hand in hand. Let's go to our next slide. Very quickly, this is our big idea. Change is always a process, but change is always persistence too. Here's what I mean. Change is always a process. It's never going to be done overnight, but it always has to be something that means you will not just make one choice, but you will follow it up with another and another, and you will consistently do those things that you know that you need to do to let God change your life. It is not something that gets done overnight, and it is not something that gets done with just one decision. It is persistently doing the things that you know that God wants you to do. Would you guys say this out loud with me on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Change is always a process, but change is always persistence too. Very good. Thank you so much. Now, as we talk a little bit further, let's go on. The conversion of Saul. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. In other words, I'm ready to go. What do you want for me to do? And then he says, the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man named Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he is praying. And then it goes on and it says, and then he sees in that vision, on the next slide, he says that as he's seeing in a vision a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many people about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. In other words, Lord, maybe somebody else could take that job because I'd prefer not to go, right? And so as he is saying, Lord, I'm here. And then Lord says, here's what I want you to do. He's like, oh, let's not say yes just quite yet. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind everyone who calls on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God has great things planned for Saul, but everything has to change first. Let's go to the next slide. And as we do, who is changed by this experience? Obviously, it's Saul. It's his conversion experience. But then the man that we just read about, it's Ananias. He is changed by this experience as well. He is brought to the place where he's a part of one of the most important conversions. And then there's other disciples, and I've got that on that center screen. The other disciples had heard about Paul. They're keeping their distance, and instead he's welcomed in because Barnabas says, no, he really is a true disciple. Give him a chance. And isn't it amazing how one man can make a huge difference in that way? So who's changed by this experience? It's Saul. It's Ananias, it's others, disciples, and it's all happening. This road to change for one man is rippling out, and we'll see even more in just a moment. Let's go to our next slide. So when we refuse to change, let's make it about us real quickly. When we refuse to change, here's what happens. I've got three things I'm going to share pretty quickly. First of all, we go back to the old mistakes again and again and again and again. In other words, if you are a person who is on a treadmill in your life, can I tell you that more than likely the problem is that you have been pushed and pushed, maybe gently, maybe ever not so gently every now and then, but you have chosen not to change, and you know that that's happening. So here's what I would share with you. If you're on that same treadmill and nothing's changing, I would say that it is probable that God wants to change you, but you are getting right to the point and then making a U-turn and going right back and doing the same thing again and again and again and again. That's what happens when we refuse to change. But then also, this is important. Whenever we refuse to change, we never fulfill our own potential and we never fulfill our own purpose. In other words, we're kind of just wandering around and we're not being the people that God has enabled us to be. As we move forward to the next slide, you'll see this as well. Don't miss this. The biggest obstacle in your own success is internal. It is you that is holding you back. You know how I know it's you that's holding you back? Because it's me who's holding me back. My wife and I had this conversation the other day, and I said, the biggest problem in my life is me. And she said, the biggest problem in my life is me. And we just agreed on it, because the longer you live, the more you realize that things that don't change, that keep coming back and back and back, is usually because of things that I haven't changed to refuse and repel those things, and they just keep coming back. So let's not ever forget and miss that its success begins internally by getting on that road to change and staying there. Let's move forward here, and let's talk about this in the next slide. As we do, the other thing that happens when we refuse to change is that others around us often don't reach their own fullest potential either. Now, my daughters had a saying, and I could have said this on Friday. I was reading this passage of scripture, just kind of meditating on it. I knew I was going to be preaching about it. My daughters had a saying when they were growing up. I was today years old when I realized. Do any of y'all know what that's all about? Like, you've seen something 100 times and you never really paid attention, and then suddenly you're like, I was today years old when I realized. There is something that jumped out to me in this passage that I really wanted to share with you, talking about the road to change. Let's go to our next slide. Who is changed by this experience? It's Saul or Paul. It's Ananias. It's the other disciples. but it's also the church in the whole region. And I believe that's up here on the screen there, where it talks about how all of the churches in that whole entire area began to change because of Paul's influence. But then notice this, Saul's disciples. Let's go back to what I shared with you at the very beginning, how you could be in the same place and not hear the voice that changes somebody else's life, right? Y'all with me? So here, Saul has companions that are on the same mission that he's on. They're going out there, they're hunting down Christians, they're gonna take them back, and they're gonna either throw them in jail, make them recant, they're gonna do whatever they can to turn them away from Christianity. But here is what is amazing. I read this passage of scripture, I've read it probably 100 times, but in this next slide, something jumped out to me. When many days had passed, this is on down a little further, the Jews plotted to kill him, being Paul. But their plot came known to him, and as they were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Do you know what that tells me? I don't know if it reaches out and grabs you like it did me, but here's what it told me. The men who were around Saul, who never actually heard the voice from heaven at all, they heard thunder, they heard noise, but they didn't hear the voice. They are now saving Paul's life because they are believers as well. So yes, it makes sense when somebody knocks you down off the donkey that you're riding and you're down and you're unable to see for 3 days. That makes sense. Yes, of course. Who are you, Lord? Oh, you're Jesus? All right, I'm a Jesus follower now. You hear the voice. You understand that you have to change, and it all happens right there. That makes sense. But here is what is amazing. The men around him never heard the voice. They just heard the sound. But they become Christians as well. They save Saul's life because of what they see in the change that has happened to the man that they once knew, who is totally different. I don't know if you guys see the roundhouse punch I'm coming with here, but here's what I'm going to ask you. What about you? When your kids look at your life, do they see something that makes them say, I don't hear it like I used, like I know my parents hear it, but here's what I do know. I know that there's change that's happened in their life, and because of that, I will give God a voice. I will let him speak to me. I will listen to what he has to say, and even before I hear it, I'm dedicated to follow whenever he says, go. Because for most of us, we don't hear the voice initially, but we see who others have heard the voice, and we say, oh, their life is different. I see the dramatic difference, so I'm ready to listen. If you guys understand where I'm at there, can y'all give me an amen real quick? Amen? Okay, so who sees your life and says, whatever they got, I want some of it. Whatever they're living for, I want some of that, because what they're living for is changing them and putting them on a different path that I want to be on. I just don't know fully how. So as Saul hears the voice, changes his life, gives his heart to Christ, changes his name and is converted to Christianity, gets off that same treadmill of anger, rage, and frustration, those disciples of his say, whatever has happened to him, I want a part of it. So here is my challenge for you and for me. This should be what looks like in our life. That much passion, that much change, that much difference, that much purpose, that much commitment to the Lord who has saved us. And if you don't have it, I encourage you, you probably already understand that there is a relationship that you're missing that you can't seem to fill in. It is something that you have tried lots of ways with things, with people, and everywhere in between, all to fill a hole that just cannot be filled. But every time you hear a little whisper of God's voice, it resonates in a way that tells you, ah, something different about this. And if that's the case, can I just say, if I could dare to say, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Man, quit kicking against the very thing that is pushing you towards the best thing in your life. just stop. Just let God have that life that he gave you in the first place. The road to change begins with your decision and my decision to give all that we can to God. Here's a couple of big questions, and I'm bringing this to a close, and I'll go ahead and ask the worship team to come on up. So here's the big questions. Is there a loop that I keep repeating in my life? Is there one that just keeps happening for me? So what is stopping me exactly from giving my heart to the Lord and giving it fully? Is it fear? Is it hurt? Is it knowledge that I don't have? None of those are something that would keep you from the Lord. And then I got to ask, who is paying the price now, or who will pay the price later for me not being willing to change? Because if I'm not willing to change and grow, then there will be a price paid, not just by me. Because for a lot of us, we're like, well, you know what? I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. I'm just going to deal with the consequences. But let me tell you something. Just like Saul, who became Paul, rippled out and touched Ananias, touched Barnabas and the other apostles and the other church, and on, and his brothers and his disciples, and it just kept rippling out in that entire area, and literally hundreds of thousands of lives being changed as the gospel went forth. Who is going to pay the price if you remain in this place where you refuse to change, even though you hear clearly that God is calling you to do that very thing? And by the way, don't think small, think big. Let's keep moving. Here very quickly, as we talk about the I apply by, I encourage you to act now, because if you act now, you're more likely to follow through. The more that you say no and the more that you say later, the more likely it is that you will never actually begin to change. And then follow through by telling others of your commitment, because we're much more likely to keep those commitments even when it becomes hard to do. It is so important for us. We can be made new. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, it says, for if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come.